Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Microsite podcast. This is Robert and Mingo. Robert across the table from me tonight.
Yeah.
We are late night, the hustle, burning the candle at both ends. I called Robert, I don't know, just within the hour and said, man, I got all this stuff in my head. Let's put some episodes together. So this series is kind of like a little mini series on what we call temples and wells. And then really what it looks like to shift a small multi-site, or what are the steps to launching several microsites? There's a lot of programs out there. I'm just like, this is a disclaimer. There's a lot of people trying to sell you microsite professionalism, and I'll tell you this much, you only need to be courageous enough to try it and look to the people that have been through it to get enough to start your own. I don't know that, you know, there's no program I think that could guarantee you get going, but I'll tell you what, this much, Robert and I have launched probably collectively over, between us, probably 60 microsites. I think of the 37 that we ran consecutively at one point, plus not counting all the others from other churches and other regions that they've run, we might be looking at close to 100 microsite efforts launched over the last 5 years, and several of them still running to this day. We're recording this episode in the beginning of June 2019, if anybody's listening. And I remember Easter, which was in April, I remember getting several text messages from people who said, we're celebrating our fourth anniversary as a microsite. We're celebrating our fifth anniversary as a microsite. Thank you for the work that you did to get us going. And super fulfilling. And I'm guessing that if you're listening to this podcast, that you want to create that same momentum and that same ministry potential wherever it is that you are finding yourself doing ministry. And so over the next several episodes, we're going to talk through the idea of counting, walking, asking, and eventually loving or deploying a microsite. And if you're taking notes, these are the four major pillars I think that we can go through before or as we explore where we can do microsites or a viable location to launch a microsite or several. These four concepts, and actually these come from the Do Something Church. It's a whole curriculum that Miles McPherson originally wrote about from the Rock Church, my former employee and or employer, and the place where we birthed microsites. Several years ago, a few friends of mine decided that for Easter, instead of just running the regular shift as pastors inside of the, you know, main location where we have church, where we were going to see some 20,000 people come to an Easter service, we asked, what would it look like to take our streaming service, steal a couple projectors, and actually go and project the services in different places all over the city? Fast forward 5 years, and there are several churches, several thousand people who have given their life to Jesus because a microsite showed up right where they were and delivered a church service in the least expected places where they needed it the most. So Robert, across the table from me, one of the original microsite volunteers turned leader, turned mentor and shepherd. Robert and I are actually co-founders in micrositeministry.com, right? A website that gives resources away. And if you want to go all the way down the consultation world, we'd love to talk to you about what it looks like to launch microsites for your own ministry. But today we're going to focus specifically on the discipline of counting. We've got a few things that we want to give you inside of that window. I'm going to tell you what they are so that you can expect them. Take notes. Under the banner of count, we're going to talk about counting the cost, counting the potential, and counting the steps to launch, and what details you need to know inside of each one of those. Counting the cost, counting the potential, and counting the steps to launch. So, Robert, talk to us about counting the cost, specifically from the viewpoint of somebody volunteering for a microsite ministry. You stepped into my world, not knowing exactly what it was going to require of you, but if you could go backwards and tell people who were considering launching microsites, or if they were a part of a ministry who said, hey, we're going to launch these in the next few weeks for our church, what kind of cost would you tell these people to count?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't think I counted the cost initially. I think I just was a big fat yes. And so I really didn't understand.
The best kind of volunteer.
So
yes, I will.
But I did, looking back, the amount of hours spent, it just depended on your level, I think, of involvement. Like, how deep did you want to get in relationship with the people you were
ministering to
or becoming friends with, listening to their stories? Because something changes when it's such a smaller community.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming friends with people you would never become friends with outside of that environment.
Right.
I had this affliction of I couldn't hug a homeless person.
Yeah.
Maybe I was scared. I was the smell, the stench, and I'm being very honest with how I felt. I just felt like I was in a hazmat suit and I was passing out water.
Yeah.
And then, God broke my heart. And then, later on, 2 years into it, this is confession time, I got lice.
Did you really?
Yes. And I'll give you another confession. I gave it to my wife.
Dude, I had no idea that.
No, nobody knows that. I don't even think my wife would want me to repeat this. Yes,
this is exclusive first time information. No way.
I just remember my wife combing out of my hair.
You had to quarantine.
Quarantine all our clothes. And it was because I was doing ministry in that environment.
No way.
And I was hugging everybody. I was sitting with people.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. It didn't occur to me until I had a friend who was at Impact say, hey.
Impact, pause. Impact is a leadership program that you were going through. Just correct. For the listener. Yeah,
that leadership program. And,
yeah.
And they said, hey, I want to come and help out and volunteer. And then I had just gone through the whole lice thing, right? And then I said, hey, I got lice last week at the site, and she freaked out and didn't want to serve.
Yeah.
But I thought it would be fair warning for me not to say anything. Yeah. And she literally freaked out. Yeah.
Crazy. She was like, I had no idea.
I lost a volunteer that night.
That's the first time I've ever heard you tell that story. We've been friends for a long time. You've never told me that.
I don't know why I didn't share it with you. I probably would have given the opportunity.
You were meeting in my living room every single week, and you still never said anything about getting lice.
I think Liz said, don't tell anybody.
That's crazy. Well, and here's what's interesting is microsites are this, it's this great vehicle for delivering church. We always did it in a live stream format. We took the live streaming services. Now you would do it, if your church is doing it, it's probably through Facebook or YouTube.
Mm.
You literally go somewhere with a streaming device. Think about an iPhone or an iPad or a laptop. You connect it to a projector, and that becomes your church service. Mm-hmm. And while you're projecting a pastor, it's the team that really becomes the local leadership for that particular microsite. And I remember telling people this as I taught several classes as I was trying to put together what does it look like to lead a microsite. We had just, I remember fumbling on the name microsite just a few weeks after Easter and then thinking, I have to write classes so that people understand what they're getting into. Otherwise, I'll never get a volunteer ever. And one of the first things we talked about under the great leadership of George Clarier, a pastor now at The Gathering, he's the senior pastor of The Gathering Church. At the time, he was the executive pastor at the church that we had launched microsites at, The Rock. He told me, Mingo, you have to tell people what it looks like to count the cost, right? Mm-hmm. There's something personal that you're going to have to give in order to get what you want to get out of this ministry. And I knew very clearly what I wanted out of this ministry. I wanted people to know and hear about Jesus in places they had never heard about him before. And, in our city context, we're in a city that starts in a very urban core. And then the farther you get out from its city center, downtown San Diego, it becomes increasingly suburban. And then you find pockets of urban communities all throughout it in all directions, north, east, west, and south. And so when I talk about counting the cost, Robert gives you the most extreme case. If you're going to do microsites, you have to be ready to get lice. I think about some of the other microsite expressions, like when Liz was running the business leader microsite for entrepreneurs. This was a gathering of influential, affluent, motivated young people who all were somehow tied to being entrepreneurs, and they were running a microsite inside of one of the co-working spaces that one of the volunteers had access to, right?
Correct, yeah.
One of the costs associated with running that microsite was that person had to kind of put their reputation on the line and say, correct, even though I'm a business owner, I have a faith. That faith is in Jesus. I'd like to know if I could bring some of my friends and some of the other people to this office space on a regular basis. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was Mia Davies. She was the she was a member there. Mm-hmm. I had gone there too, but as an employee of a company.
Right. So the cost for Mia would have been her reputation. Mm-hmm. Right. The cost for you was a good shampoo and sharing a night of lice extraction with your wife. There certainly is. There's no way getting around it. There is a financial cost associated with doing microsites. Unpack that.
Well, there's definitely the equipment cost. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with that. You have to get power. Usually you can grab that from somebody.
Right. There's a couple of creative ways you can do that. We can help you solve that problem if you're trying to figure out where to do microsites. And if you've got power, like let's say you're meeting in a community room of an apartment complex, or let's say you're meeting in a place where you have access to a power plug. Mm-hmm. We used to meet in a park in downtown San Diego, and they found one power outlet on the pillar of a bridge. And we used to run, thank you, City of San Diego. We used to run our church services off of that one plug. But then there were services that ran remote with no power plugs. We used to build battery packs.
Car battery, yeah.
So that they could run remote services where there was no power and still project and give amplified sound for people in the farthest places. So yes, there is a financial cost when it comes to the equipment.
Then there's the food.
There's hospitality.
Hospitality.
Right? What it looks like to serve people in a loving, accommodating, hospitable way. Mm-hmm. Several of our sites did free coffee. They did free pizzas. Remember ordering pizzas? Yeah. Man, we used to go to this place called Landini's in Little Italy, and I struck a deal with the owner. I think their regular pizza price was like $12 for a large pizza, and I got that guy to give me $8 immaculate, really amazing Italian pizzas. Like, he was the real deal, and he would sell me 15 pizzas for $8 a piece so that we could distribute it at the time, I think, to like 14 microsites in the downtown district.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It was good pizza.
So the cost was somebody going and picking it up, somebody picking
gas,
the time. Then you count the cost of what it's going to take time-wise. And, you know, time is one of those things. If you're in my camp, I've spoken very specifically about the value of time because I understand it even more so as a pastor in comparison to money, right? Money does help make ministry happen. But man, time is, as we've measured it, it's even more important than money. You can always make more money, but you can't get more time back. And when you decide to dive in a microsite, time has to be one of the things you commit to spending or investing. There's just no way around it, right? Tell me about the times that you went beyond the service time, because everybody starts thinking, okay, well, if we have a service from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, that's just what it's going to take for me to do this microsite.
Well, you run into like setup. You got to get there early.
Right.
Right. And when you get there early, you set up, well, if you're in an area, if you're dealing with a demographic like a semi-homeless population, mm-hmm. people in the margins, downtown, you want to invite people, right?
Yeah.
So you got to get invite cards and get a team to go out and pass out
yeah.
cards. And then there's the actual service time, right? And then there's after the service, there's breakdown.
The ministry after service.
After
right?
service, right? Cleaning. And then, yeah, the ministry, it's like listening to the people. If you just take off, they're like, oh, okay. I guess you just wanted to do that and leave.
Yeah, that was for you, not for them.
It was always like about an hour to hour and a half after. There yeah. wasn't like, people didn't just take off normally because they wanted to talk. They're like, yeah. hey, I just heard that service, what Miles said about that. Like,
yeah, Miles being the speaking pastor.
He told me to get up if I believed in God and I got up, like, what do I do now? You know, or a guy cries on your shoulders because he just got out of prison and after 20 years because he was carjacking people.
Yeah.
You know, I've had so many experiences there that I would never have inside of a church.
Yeah, it's really true. And if you would have shorted the time, if you would have underestimated the cost of just time specifically, you would have missed a lot of life-changing ministry. I mean, I know you. I know you personally, and I know you had a massive impact in so many people's lives because you afforded them the time. You counted the cost, and you said, the service runs from 10 to 11, but I'm going to commit to getting there an hour and a half early. And as the Lord leads, I'll stay as late as necessary.
And sometimes there are certain people that had the time. They're like, well, I got to go to work after this. Not really much I can do. And we love those people because we need them. We call them, I think, helping hands.
Helping hands.
They can show up whenever they want.
Yep.
You know, they just add to the help. Right?
Yeah.
Or I can come to invite versus,
right,
you know, stay for the service because,
right,
I got to go to work. And then there's just people who just didn't have the emotional capacity to stay for a long period of time afterwards or deal with people.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was just, I just wanted to hear their stories, and through hearing their stories and getting to know them, I became friends with some of them.
Yeah, it's good. Robert, I'm curious to know, what's your personality profile? What are you on the Enneagram? Because as I'm thinking about people who are considering what it's going to take to launch a microsite, you're a phenomenal microsite leader. You were an even better regional leader. What's your personality profile Enneagram?
I'm a type 9 with an 8 wing.
Okay. Explain that for somebody who maybe isn't super versed.
Well, a type 9 is just, they're called the peacemakers.
Okay.
And they can actually see everyone else's perspective. They're actually like Bill Clinton was a number 9.
Okay.
And he was known, other than beside the controversy around him at the
right
time, he could walk in a room and talk to another nation and they would, the other nation would almost think that they had a deal because he was so empathetic,
yeah,
with the other person's point of view that they actually thought that they had agreed with everything they said, but he actually didn't.
Yeah.
So they have the ability to actually bring people together, and they're actually really good at conflict resolution.
That's really great. Because
they can actually understand everyone's point of view, and they have a very calming effect around other people. Other people feel calm around them.
That's good. I think, you know, a super side note, but if I was going to give, we should do an Enneagram and microsite like mashup episode, but
yeah,
the Peacemaker is a tremendous site leader pairing. Like if you're thinking about who can lead a microsite at the highest level, a profile like Robert's would be really great. And when I think about a host, you got to have a guy who's, I'm a 7, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm super optimistic. I'm out there. I believe the best. I have
joy. Yeah, find joy in everything.
Find joy in anything. I remember one time at a microsite, I was with Guy, one of our volunteers, and I was at the Arlington, and there was this lady, and she has a heart attack. And she's getting, the ambulance comes in the middle of the service and she's getting like loaded up by the ambulance. We're praying for her. The whole community that's attending church at the microsite is like obviously in shambles. And I'm like, hey Guy, you're doing a great job. Like I saw all the good in what had happened. Yeah. Of course we prayed for that lady and we saw her again later, a few weeks later. Guy was totally distraught. I mean, he was like, is this what church is? You
is
know,
this normal?
And I'm thinking this is the cost of doing church for people on the fringes. You know, you don't know what you're walking into, but I'm a 7. I love being the host. I love telling people, we're glad you're here. I anticipated your arrival. A guy like you running the site at large makes me believe there's nothing that can go wrong. So super side note, Enneagrams plus microsites, there's definitely a conversation to be had there. But one of the things you have to count is the cost. When you're thinking about leading a microsite, you can't go in blind. You need to consider what kind of time allocation it's going to take, right? You have to consider the cost on the team of volunteers that are going to help you launch that microsite. And I would, whatever you think time-wise it's going to take, I would multiply it by 2 and start there, right?
Yeah, so that's a good.
If you've got a one-hour service that your church hosts, multiply it by 2 and see what happens. That would be my advice to you. Also, you know, be ready for the cost. I can't tell you how many times we sat inside of a microsite where I needed to utilize my personal network to help somebody make a step forward in their personal life. So at the business owner or the business leader's microsite, I remember people asking, hey, you know, it's been a rough month. I don't have a lot of clients. Is there anybody you can connect me with that could help me X, Y, and Z? And I think this is beyond my job description. I have to actually give you access to my personal connections but I cared for that person. And so I was willing to share those personal ties in order to see this person move forward, right? Then you make your way all the way through the economic scale to somebody who says, hey, listen, I can't afford rent this next week. Is there anything you and this team can do? I remember with great clarity, somebody coming to a microsite saying, I'm done doing drugs, but I'm extremely addicted. I know the destruction that lies ahead. I don't think I'd live through the month. And while I know I'm wrestling with this hangup, this addiction, I'm ready. I'm clear enough minded in this moment to say I need help. And I remember the team having to band together and say, what is the cost for this person to go to rehab? And what was crazy was that volunteer team ponied up for that person to go to rehab 3 months, and that person made it out of rehab and was clean after. I met that person again several months after they had exited rehab that was fully funded by a volunteer team of microsite leaders. And that person, God changed their life. That's the cost. I think that, you know, you never would expect, or you couldn't anticipate what would come down the pipeline when launching a microsite, but you have to tell people there will be a cost associated that is far beyond the cost of just attending church.
Was it you? I heard someone say, when I think of microsites, I think, you know, we're not going to change the world, but we're going to change the world for one person.
Yes. Do for one what you wish you could do for everybody.
Someone said that.
It's an Andy Stanley quote.
That's who it is.
And it's really, it's one of the most applicable perspectives in microsite ministry. So continuing through the count process. So count the cost. Yes. Let's talk about counting the potential. This is actually like something you can do when examining where you'd like to do a microsite. There are some things you can do to determine if that's a viable or promising microsite location. Robert, what are some of the things, or some of the tools people can deploy when considering if it's going to be a successful microsite?
Well, I remember because it was downtown. I mean, some of this was already like looked at, like the area, but I was taught from the classes and from doing that you would look for a person of peace, maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Someone has influence in the community and says, hey, you know, there's a really neat over there.
Yeah.
And maybe you should look and check out that area.
Somebody contextually integrated into the community, somebody who was an insider.
Yeah. And so, you know, then at that point you would go say, hey, why don't you ask these businesses? And then you go knock on that business, say, hey, I would love to take your loading dock space for Sunday for 2 hours, and we'll keep it clean. And then sometimes people just say, yeah, sure.
Right.
And then that's how it all kind of rolls and starts. But I think the potential would be something you could research online, the demographic of that community.
Yep.
You know, if you say, hey, I want to serve a retirement community, well, then you should be looking in retirement areas.
Where are the retirement communities located in your city? How many are there, right? What are the biggest ones? Who are the newest ones? Who are the most established ones? Who are the retirement communities that maybe have ties and influence with other retirement communities? One of our greatest microsites was actually in a retirement facility, and they had so much influence. They actually earned, by way of their consistency and their faithfulness inside of their retirement facility, running a church program for the people that called that place home, they earned credit to launch in other locations. We also did that with laundromats. I think of when we talk about counting the potential as a pastor, I'm thinking, how do we reach the most people with, how do we hit the biggest bang for the buck? And I try to think of places that have an existing community of people already built in, and then we can bring a church service to it. So think dorms with college communities, think frat houses, think sororities, think, we talked about laundromats because laundromats have 30, sometimes 40 units inside of a laundromat. One of the strategies we deployed was advertising free laundry on Sundays. We would pay for people's laundry and we would run a service simultaneously. We would barbecue, pay for people's laundry, a wash cycle and a dry cycle shockingly enough, is the exact amount of time you need for one service. So I would be looking around for the biggest laundromats that we could potentially have an open invitation from the owner. Robert helped us establish several of those, and that became the inroad. That became how we measured the potential for what a microsite could be or could do for a particular community. Any other things? This isn't a vastly deep conversation, but thinking about potential specifically, and anything else come to your mind in like thinking about the potential of a place? I think time wise, right? Like, I think it's important to measure the amount of time that you might be able to travel, be in a space, but also the amount of time it'll take to get to a space, right? A lot of microsites think, well, let's put it farther than where we are already drawing people. That's a fair reason to put a microsite somewhere. But I think it's important to think why you're putting something somewhere, right? So why is this community a good community to start with? Why would this be a great pairing with the kind of program that your church has? Why would this location be a great long-term solution for your church delivering a microsite there? I remember the theater. We used to do an underground theater in downtown San Diego.
Yep, I remember that.
And one of my favorite reasons for doing a microsite there was right above it was a whole apartment complex. So I remember I could advertise directly to people who only needed to walk down one flight of stairs to get to church. Mm-hmm. That was the potential that I was counting for that particular location. It paid major dividends.
Proximity. Yeah.
Yep. Proximity was such a massive incentive for that microsite. Any piece of information you want to give somebody talking specifically towards the potential? Actually, did we start this conversation on cost?
Yeah. No, we started on potential.
We started
on cost, and we're at potential now.
We're now moving into potential.
We're in potential.
We're in potential. Okay, so any piece of advice specifically to potential that you would think about?
Wow, for potential, you know, I think sometimes once you do the work and you set up, I think when you start walking around and talking to people,
yeah,
you'd be amazed at how many people couldn't believe that there's a service.
Yes, it's true. And I think you'd be amazed at how many people have the potential to actually become leaders in your site.
And when I think of potential too, I think of like a lot of people would come up to me afterwards multiple times, multiple weeks, and say, wow, I didn't know the Rock Church did this.
Yeah.
I thought they were this big church that didn't care about like us. I'm like, They said, I think I really like them now.
Yeah. Just to expound on what Robert said, it's really true. When you lead with a microsite into those hard to reach places, it's so amazing. Honestly, it's one of the best feelings to be a carrier of a microsite to a place where people least expect it, because you get to be the voice for that church and go, you're the reason why we exist. Right. And we're doubling down on the belief and the DNA that is inside of our church that says we are for all people by delivering a service right to where you're at. You matter this much, not just to the church, but to Jesus. Mm. And the church is just an expression of the love of Jesus anyways. That is the potential. It's funny because you deliver it in a microsite, but what you're doing is you're saying the people that you're meeting have all the potential in the world, that Jesus actually sees in them more than what they could ever see in themselves. And you know what the catalyst is for that? The delivery of a microsite. So let's finish it with this. What does it look like to count the steps to launch a microsite? There's some basic realities that you need to know about launching a microsite. What would you put out there for somebody thinking about it, Robert?
Well, to launch well, you need a team.
Yes, yes. Thank you for that. You need support from your local church, right?
Yep,
you can't launch microsites as a rogue effort.
Yeah, no one's going to give you the keys.
You've got to have support from the central like sending unit.
The church is passing on some trust to you that transfers to whoever you're talking to.
And we used to tell people we're expanding the walls of our church. Mm-hmm. This isn't like some rogue effort. This isn't because you're disgruntled and you don't like your leadership. Now you're launching microsites because it gives you the freedom to do church the way you want to do church, where nobody can see you do church. Mm-hmm. Hear me about that. This is an extension of your church. This is expanding the walls of your church. If you think that you're going to launch microsites because you don't like what's happening at the central location, what you will be doing is you will be expanding what you don't like. You've got to be on board with what's happening centrally. Otherwise, you will find yourself working against yourself. You have to be good with what you are producing at a central level. Then you carry it out to all the hard to reach places.
You're the ATM of the gospel.
Yes. And we'll unpack that in a later date, but you are an ATM. You are an extractable, you are a withdraw station for people meeting you on the street or wherever you launch your microsite. You have to think about the budget. And I think that this is about consistency. When you're counting the steps to launch a microsite, you've got to set finances aside, whether it's coming from your team or whether it's coming from a centralized budget from within the church. You can't start microsites and then stop them 3 weeks later because you didn't get enough people. What that says to the people that you were showing up for is God wasn't that interested in you. The church wasn't that interested in you.
Yeah, I agree. You're a reflection of your church if you disappear after a few weeks and that's not preparing correctly. Good questions to ask is, you know, are we going to provide, is the church going to provide the budget for the food?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to give an opportunity for the volunteers to give?
Yep, which is a better option in my opinion.
I agree. I went through that process.
Yep.
Or is it the tithe that may come in, is that going back to the church or is that going to
the central expression of hospitality?
Or is it going back to that, is it redirected back into that microsite, a portion of it, all
really
of it
good. And every option is open. There are some churches that are pulling all the funding from every microsite into a central budget. There are some churches that say if your site brings in X amount of money, your site gets to utilize that amount of money. There's no wrong way to do it, mm-hmm. but you cannot afford to not count the cost. You've got to count the cost in each particular expression. Count the cost to get started, both personally as a leader and what it's going to take for the team. Count the cost in the potential for where you think you're going to launch your site or where you think the best site might be launched. And then count the steps that it's going to take to launch and stay launched. Right? Not just start a service, but sustain one. And I would say this as we close down the service, if you don't put a 6-week commitment on the ground, I don't think you're going to reach your greatest potential. People oftentimes are examining you from the outside, wondering if you're going to be there longer than 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think there has to be a minimum of some kind, 3 months, 6 months.
That's good. Ooh, you're up in the ante. I say 6 weeks. You're saying like 12 weeks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just think it's really getting deep into that community. And then if that season doesn't work, you can always move to a different location.
Pack up and move it to another location.
And let everybody know, hey, we're going to be over there. We're going to be 5 blocks away.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, in the next conversation, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to walk. What does it look like to walk when in consideration of launching a microsite? Thanks for listening to this conversation. I hope you join us for the next one. Robert, thank you so much for your insight. We love you. We'll talk to you on the next episode.